Okay. All right, so the topic here for today is that of Bittul Chametz. So yeah, Noged at Pesach. And I want to try to bring out the significance and just how important Bittul Chametz is. Okay, so it's like a gnomic line that we say during the Bedikas Chametz at night, but then also after the Bior Chametz in the morning. Right, does anybody remember how it goes offhand? Yeah, the Kol Chamira, V'chamia, Diga Bershusi, etc., etc. Oh, good.
Go on, you didn't finish it.
All 11 that is in my possession, and you repeat it in English.
You should understand it in English or something. We're Yotze in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about the different girsos here as well. So look here on the top of page 1 for a moment. Look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Umatzah and Zakdamah. So the Rambam here talks about the different mitzvos associated with Chametz. And this is an introduction to Hilchos Chametz Umatzah. And I want to point out 3 of the mitzvos associated with Chametz. So the first one, next to the Aleph in the Rambam, is not relevant for us, but that's a special mitzvah not to eat matzah, not to eat Chametz on Erev Pesach. Right? You shouldn't eat Chametz already from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. And the second one is the first mitzvah I want to focus on. Lahashpis se'or me'arba asar. It says a mitzvah to destroy yeast or chametz on the 14th day of Nisan. That's called the mitzvah of tashbisu. Right, literally the mitzvah of destroying chametz. That's the first mitzvah we're going to talk about. And then gimel is shelo lechol chametz kol shiva, a separate mitzvah to not eat chametz. Okay, and then skip dalid. Hey and Vav are shelo yirah chametz kol shiva, but shelo yimatzei chametz kol shiva. Right, they shouldn't have chametz found or seen in your possession. So really 3 mitzvahs here associated with chametz. One is an asay, to destroy it, tashbisu. The other one is a los asay, not to eat chametz during Pesach. And the third is also a combination of 2 los asays, bal yirah and bal yimatzeh. Chametz shouldn't be seen or found in your rishos. Okay? Now I want to speak about these mitzvahs come from different psukim. Okay, for example, in the first pasuk here on page 1, so the Torah says, "Matzos ye'achel eish shivas hayamim, v'lo yirah lecha chametz, lo yirah lecha sor." That's bal yirah, right? You shouldn't see the chametz. In the next source, in Perek Beis pasuk Yud Tes, it's shivas yamim seor lo yimatzei bibateichem. That's the second half of bal yirah, bal yimatzei, right? Chametz shouldn't be found. In the third source of the psukim, in Perek Gimel pasuk Beis, so we have Moshe telling the Jewish people to remember Pesach, and the pasuk ends v'lo ye'achel chametz. Right, chametz should not be eaten; can't consume chametz on Pesach. That was the second of the mitzvot that we've seen, and then the third one is in Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Tesvav, shivas yamim matzos tochelu, ach bayom harishon tashbisu seor mibateichem, tashbisu to destroy chametz. And what I want to figure out is how does the concept of bittul chametz relate to all 3 of these mitzvos? A, the mitzvah to destroy chametz. B, the prohibition of having chametz in your rishus. And C, the prohibition of not eating chametz on Pesach.
Can we define bittul as nullification? Is that a good word?
Or? Yeah, that's what bittul usually means. Levatel is to nullify, okay, right? So you're nullifying the chametz. So we'll talk about the bittul in a second. Yeah.
So make sure we have destroying, not to be found, and eating.
Not eating, right? Those are 3 mitzvos, right? Exactly. All right.
Now, four.
Yeah, so I'm grouping bal yirah and bal yimatzeh together for our purposes because they always go together. The Gemara says whenever you violate one, you automatically violate the other.
And it has to be
not necessarily.
Well,
not necessarily.
You have to own that. In other words, if someone else stores chametz in my house, a guy.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll get there.
About bal yimatzeh, if a guy puts chametz on your property.
Yeah, what happens then? So it depends on these questions whether your chatzer is koneh for you on Pesach, but if you think your chatzer is kona, then you violate bal yirah, bal yimatzeh. Okay? So here's 2 formulations of the nusach habitul that we have in our sidurim. This is the second to last source on page, the third to last and second to last source on page 1. Kol chamir v'chamia diga bershusi, de lo chazite u de la biarte, libatil v'have hefker ke'afra da'ara. Right? Literally, any chametz or yeast that's found in my rishus that I didn't see and I didn't destroy.
Even that I didn't see?
So here it seems like especially that which I didn't see.
Not only that.
Yeah. You'll see, I'll tell you why in a second. It should be batel and hefker like the dust of the earth. That's the bittel that we say at night. During the day, we change the lashon slightly when we say the bittel after bir chametz, and that's the next one. Kol chamir v'chamia di'ika bir shusi. Dechazite udilo chazite. Both that I've seen and that I didn't see. Dibiarte udilo biarte, that I destroyed and didn't destroy. Libatul have a hefker ka'afra da'ara. So you notice during the day, we switch the language, right? We add in dechazite udilo chazite and dibiarte udilo biarte. So why do we switch it during the day? Why is it more inclusive, the bittel?
Because we're seeing chametz right now that we're
destroying. So at night, we say that we're only being mevatel the chametz that we don't see or haven't found. During the day, we're saying even the chametz that I've seen and found and destroyed, I want that to be batel. Yeah, this is the last time.
Yes.
But why not just do this more inclusive language at night already?
Well, you might eat stuff during the... You still can eat stuff until the morning, even though you've... Right?
So you're saying it would be like disingenuous to be mevatel it if you're still...
Sure, I mean, yeah, it can...
Yeah, that's a good... you're saying you're worried that it's like lying because you're still going to eat breakfast the next morning. Yeah, so why bother doing the bittul at night?
That's a better question.
Yeah. But why? What's another reason why the lashon during the day may be more inclusive?
It's more of a prohibition during the day.
Okay, but then why don't you just mevatel at night already and that saves you for the next day?
Aren't we... Well, I think they already said it, but we're going to be eating... During the
yeah,
day.
So that's one possibility.
Also,
it would be like disingenuous, or it would seem like you're lying if you're mevatel it and then eat the chametz the next morning.
Because you're closer to Pesach, there's a common Pesach that we give in that during the day.
Yeah, but still, why not just do the whole lashon at night already?
What's that? So the lashon at night would be what? Assuming that we're going to be eating during the day.
It would be much more inclusive, right? It would say mevatel. All the chametz, even chametz that I know about, even chametz that I've seen, even chametz that I'm trying to destroy.
I'm going to eat mevatel at night, and then I'm going to go have bread in a sandwich in the morning.
Yeah, so at least you're eating chametz that you're mevatel already.
Wouldn't you have to burn it at night then too?
Why would you have to burn it?
Because you've just collected it in a nice little pouch.
Okay, so you're mevatel it. So you're mevatel. You say it's batel. It's nothing. This way, in case you.
But you can't say the lo chazite.
Why not? Dechazite u delochazite. Well, you do say delochazite at night, but here in addition, you can say dechazite. Even the chametz that I know is sitting in my kitchen, I want to be mevatel.
Except for the chametz that I'm burning tomorrow morning and eating tomorrow.
Well, why not be mevatel that also? Why not be mevatel the chametz that you're...
What's your question? Should you burn it at night? Then it's your question.
No,
I'm saying let's say you find all your chametz. You find all your chametz at night. So why can't you be mevatel the chametz that you found at night?
Even
that you've seen.
But
usually we do the bittul at the end of the search, right? Right when you finish the search, you say, oh, in addition, I'm a vatel.
Your question is broader. Why do the search?
Oh. So the point here is that there's a concern. If you have the over-inclusive bittul, it really, there's no point for the biur. I mean, if you nullify all your chametz at night, then the biur chametz that you do during the day is really meaningless. Because you already were yotzei zayin. You already fulfilled the destruction of the chametz through the bittul. So the reason why we have the less inclusive formulation at night is because you want to leave some room to perform the mitzvah of biur during the day. Now, that's really striking, because what it does show is exactly the question that you're raising, right? The bittul chametz is so powerful. The bittul chametz is really what gets you out of the isser, ba'yira, and ba'yimatzeh. So it's true, we drive ourselves crazy, we clean our homes meticulously, and we also, Harold sells his chametz through the Lubavitchers online. But really, you don't need to do that. Right? Really, midaraisa, once you're mevatel your chametz, you're in the clear. So let's take a look at that for a second. I think people usually don't appreciate that. That really it's the bittul chametz, the nullifying, the statement that I'm nullifying, that does all the heavy lifting in terms of the prohibition of Baal Yira and Baal Yimatzeh. On the bottom source of page 1, we have the statement of the Gemara in Psachim Dalet Amud Beis, Bedikas chametz midrabananu, the institution of searching for your chametz is really an institution midrabanan. The midaraisa bebitul ba'alma sagilei. Midaraisa, all you need is the bittul. So that little statement of kol chamira v'chamid ikav reshusi, that's midaraisa, all you need to get out of the isra of chametz.
There is a mitzvah of biur as well.
Okay, so 1 second. So we have to figure out. You're right. So maybe the bittul gets us out of ba'yira and ba'yimatzeh. But through the bittul, do I fulfill my positive mitzvah of destroying chametz? That's an open question still, right? We haven't said anything about it. But look at another example on the top of page 2. This is a Mishnah in Psachim on Memtes Amid Aleph, top source. Haholech lishchot es pischo. Someone's going to shech their carbon Pesach v'lamol es b'no, right? They're distracted on Erev Pesach morning. V'lechol sudas eresim v'ves chamav, or they're going to have a wedding celebration. V'nizkar sheyesh lo chametz b'soch pesach. And then you remember that you have the donuts sitting on your countertop, right? And you're already away from home. You're not going to be back in time. So im yachol lachzor levayer, v'lachzor limitzvaso, yachzor v'yivayer. So if you could get back and burn it, great. V'im lab nevatlo belibo. If not, then you should just think, you know, to yourself that, oh, I want to be mevatel it, and that's sufficient. Okay, so the Mishnah here clearly states, again, that the bitul chametz is sufficient to get out of the prohibition of ba'yiran ba'yimatzeh. Oh, so we have to look at the sources, obviously. But at least I just wanted to, before we get there, which we're going to get to right away, you see these gemaras establish that the bittul does a lot of the heavy lifting here. Good?
This is just one caveat in that gemara, those were mitzvahs. So maybe you could have said, since I'm already doing one mitzvah, I'm not going to make you stop.
Remember to
go ahead and do this. Since that is broad.
So you're saying under extenuating circumstances. That's the Mishnah, true. But from the gemara on Dalar Mabiz, it sounds like... Yeah, just in the Mishnah, true. But the Gemara seems to take it further and say that midaraisa, all you need is bittul. So what would be the mechanism? What would be the way in which the bittul chametz works, such that it gets you out of the prohibition minat Torah? So on page 2, we're going to look at 4 shitas in the Rishonim to see how they describe the mitzvah bittul, or how the bittul is effective. So Rashi Psachim, Dalad Mabez, commenting on that Gemara that says that all you need is bittul, Rashi said, bittul ba'alma, Dichsiv tashpisu, veloksiv tivaru. What does the Torah say about destroying chametz? All it says is tashpisu. Doesn't say burn. Doesn't say levayer. The Torah just says lehashpis. V'hashpasa delev hi hashpasa. And even negating, what does lehashpis mean? Literally, it's hard to translate. What does lehashpis mean? It's like Shabbos. Well, yeah, it's caused to rest, to, yeah. Kivo shavas kel mikom lachta, right? He like negated the malacha. So here it means something like to negate, right? So the hashpasa delev, yeshvas, even if you negate it in your mind, that's enough to fulfill the Torah's requirement of lahashpis. Okay? That's one source according to Rashi. So are you persuaded, Dr. Berkowitz? No. What? No?
Religion of deeds, of actions, not of thoughts. I can't think that I'm...
You think so? There, it's a mitzvah to bench lulav. So, but here, the mitzvah is just lahashpis, to negate.
You're interpreting hashpis as to destroy.
Yeah, that's a Rashi thing. Dichsiv tashpisiv lochsiv tivaru.
Negation in the mind. Yeah. Same as destruction.
So Rashi's saying that if the Torah wanted us to destroy the chametz, it would have said, "V'yomarishon tivaru chametz mibateichem." Torah uses the word lahashpis to connote that the mental declaration. Or the mental negation is sufficient.
Is that the only mental declaration that we're aware of?
In the Torah? Mm-hmm. Well, lots of things seem to work even just with like kavana. You know, the Gemara.
Kavana.
Sometimes even some sorts of davenings are sufficient just to think about it in your yotze.
If your shor is running around,
yeah.
And you state in your mind that it's no longer yours.
Right.
And then
what's going to happen then?
Liability.
Well, here it's something. It seems like it's something unique to chametz,
yeah,
right? But I mean, there are areas where you require more than just this mental assertion. But it sounds like Rashi is being medayik from the word lahashpis that it's to be inclusive that hashpasa belev is sufficient.
Chametz is a very unique category. It's mashahu, there's kares, so it does require. We are going to invoke different mechanisms to know.
Yeah, but here he's saying that all you really need is just the bittul. Right, yeah, it's learned that from the Torah. It's
good to say,
you're implying that it's a lesser activity.
Yeah, maybe it's more.
Yeah. You know, I could do something physically. I'm burning it, but
right.
I'm not thinking about it.
Right, maybe this mental like disassociation from your chametz is more powerful than just tossing it
in the
fire.
Does it by definition imply kavanah?
Yeah, it would sound like the only way you could do the bittul is if you actually have kavanah when you have the statement. God rested? You might say, it's hard to know. What does it mean? Shvisa mikol malacha.
I disavow the work mentally.
Right. Possibly. I mean,
is that
part of resting on Shabbos is to not think about your melacha that you do during the week. That's part of Shvisa.
One of the basis of chametz is that it's a negative avodah zarah. In other words, it's to separate you from. That's why we don't have it that one in this bed.
So you're saying you like the hashbasa b'leiv.
Right. So therefore, hashbasa b'leiv fits perfectly.
Yeah, it's true. So look here at the next source. Tosfos is going to disagree with Rashi. Tosfos is very upset by it. Tosfos says this can't be. Tosfos has two main objections. His first objection is that this is the next source. So he says the Gemara points out, the Gemara states in a few places that, or the Gemara assumes that Hashbasa is Havara. Right? The Gemara assumes that you have to burn the Chametz oftentimes. That's why the Gemara gets into this problem, is what do you do if Erev Pesach is Shabbos? How are you going to destroy your Chametz? And the Gemara says, oh, how are you going to end up burning it, right? So Tosfos says, if all you need is Bittul, so what kind of question is that? Right? The Gemara should have just said, just be Mevatel b'leiv. But you see, the Gemara runs with the assumption that Hashbasa is actually Havara. So just Tosfos points out the Gemara doesn't seem to have this assumption. Secondly, Tosfos points out, and this we'll discuss in a few minutes. What? So this is not, we didn't say anything about changing categories of ownership according to Rashi. According to Rashi, all we said is you might say that.
I'm changing something from the yield to
the. Right, but from the Gemara, it's clear the Gemara is assuming. The Gemara there says, oh, how are you going to burn it? But you see, even just the operative assumption of the Gemara is that burning is the real kiyum.
Okay? Tabaru basically means burning, not necessarily not getting rid of.
To destroy, yeah.
Oh, okay. Is it burning or destroying?
It sounds like destroying. That's destroying. We'll see this machlokas later on. What does destroying mean? Whether it's burning or there's other ways of destroying it. But it doesn't sound like it's bittul, right? Because the bittul doesn't sound like it's destroying. So this is the second question, is that the Gemara also has an assumption later on in Psachim that you can't do the bittul after the chametz becomes aser. So you can only do the bittul before chatzos on Erev Pesach. Okay? So it means if you have chametz in your, let's say you find chametz on Pesach in your house, so you have to burn it, it's too late to simply be mevatel it. Because once it becomes usher, it's too late to do the bittul. That's the assumption of the Gemara, and that's undisputed. So Tosfos says if bittul just means that you have to mentally renounce it, then really you should be able to do that on Pesach as well. That's Tosfos's second question on Rashi. So Tosfos disagrees, and look at his characterization of the bittul. This is the third paragraph in Tosfos, the line that starts with Omeri. The midraisa bittul ba'al masagi mitam de mi'achar shebitlo. Have a hefker, v'yatza mirshuso, umuter, mitakarmina avalata roa shelachirin mishel gavoa. Tosfos says the way the bittul works is not through the way Rashi described it, that hashbasa only requires the mental negation of the chametz, but it's a form of hefker, right? Meaning you're renouncing your ownership of the chametz, right? Which is like a kind of a kinyan. You used to own the chametz. Through the bittul, you're being mafkir it. You're renouncing your ownership of it. It's no longer yours, and you only violate Bayira Bayimatza if you own the Chametz. That's Tosfos' characterization of the Bittul. Do you see how it's different from Rashi? Do you see the difference? Rashi's saying
it doesn't exist anymore?
Well, Rashi says that you fulfilled the mitzvah, you fulfilled Tashbisu, right? You fulfilled the negating of the Chametz. And Tosfos says this is not a form of negating the Chametz.
It's ownership.
This is a way of just making sure you don't own it. That's Tosfos' point. It's a kind of hefker.
Which is more practical, actually.
So we'll see. It may be more practical, maybe less practical. There are a lot of issues with the hefker theory
also. According to Tosfos, you're not Yotze Bayirai of Vayimatza. You're still over on Bayirai of Vayimatza.
No, so here's the important. Yeah. You don't own it, so you don't violate Bayirai of Vayimatza.
It's Nimsa and it's Nira.
But it's not yours. Right. That's what he's pointing out. You need ownership in order to violate Bayirai of Vayimatza. Lo Yireh Lecha Se'or B'Vatecha. But you might say an important nafkamina here is whether you fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu through Bittul. Meaning both Rashi and Tosfos agree that you don't violate Bayira Bayimatze, right? Because according to Tosfos, it's not yours. But have you fulfilled the positive mitzvah of destroying your chametz?
So it sounds like Rashi does for Tosfos.
So from Rashi, it might be medayik that because it's learned out from Tashbisu, which is the source for the positive mitzvah. Of course the Bittul fulfills the positive mitzvah of Tashbisu Sarmi Batechem. According to Tosos, you don't fulfill Tashbisu, you just get around the Isser Bali Ra and Bali Matzeh. Mitch. But you haven't fulfilled Tashbisu. Of what?
I guess the question is Tashbisu a physical destruction?
Yeah, but the Torah wants you to destroy. The Torah wants you to Lahashbisu Army Batechem. Right, so Tosis is saying that's not going to... Right. The Torah wants you to do like some positive way of, some like active way of negating it. Rashi thought that the bittul, by nullifying it, you fulfill Tashbisu because you've negated it appropriately. But for Tosos, that you're just mafgir it, it sounds like you're just avoiding the violation of Bayira and Bayimatze. That's Tosos's.
But that doesn't answer the question.
On your fabricated definition of Tashbisu.
My Rashi's or mine?
The fabricated definition.
Why is it fabricated?
I mean, Google Translate doesn't agree with any definition that you've given for Lahashkis.
Okay, what does Google Translate tell you?
Google's are now a rav.
To lock out, to put an end to. It doesn't say anything about destruction. You're assuming destruction.
I'm not assuming destruction.
Or Tosa.
Rashi's not assuming.
So what is the affirmative act that you take to accomplish?
So the Gemara.
Can you flush down the
right, so we'll see. Tosos points out the Gemara usually assumes that it's sreifa, right? Physical. Something like destroying it. Is machlokas in the Gemara whether it's actually burning, or whether it's like breaking it up and throwing it into the winds, or whether it's throwing it into the sea. But those are two forms of like destroying the chametz. Like what do you call a beer chametz?
Like
but azar is complicated,
fire,
right?
But, the
well. Right, so Rashi is saying that that's exactly what Rashi's pointing out. Rashi's pointing out the fact that the Torah uses the word lahashpis, which means like those weaker concepts, implies that the bittul is sufficient to fulfill hashbasa. That's Rashi's point.
Yes.
Tosos is saying that, but the Gemara always assumes that lahashpis is identical with levayer, which assumes like a physical destruction. How do they translate levayer in Google Translate?
I didn't get to that.
Machlokas.
All right, so check it up for
us.
Tosos
and Google? Who do we hold by?
An action and a thought. Rashi says this is an action. He says this thought is an action.
I think he's right. Torah doesn't require an action even.
Otherwise, it would have said
I'll reword that. Rashi feels it's equivalent to an action. It's tashbisu.
I think Rashi's saying that the Torah doesn't even require an action. Right. Just to disassociate.
Levayer is to kindle light or to destroy.
Okay, so Tosus is pointing out that we always talk about bir chametz, and that comes from the Gemara, because the Gemara assumes lahashbis means levayer. Right? Why does the Gemara assume that?
Right,
yeah.
That's my point.
Right.
Everything is predicated on the assumed definition.
Yeah, but that's how the Gemara operates, right? So Tosus is saying, well, look, the Chazal must assume this for a reason. And Rashi is saying, not so fast, right? The Torah uses the term lahashbis because it's precise. And if the Torah wanted to say levayer, the Torah would have said levayer. That's how we know that the bittul accomplishes both of these things. Both getting out of Bali Ra, Bali Matze, and the positive mitzvah of Tashbisu. That's Rashi's argument. So you're just a Rashi person.
No, it's a more logical argument from what I know
right now. Right. Okay, the Ramban is going to attack Tosfos and offer perhaps a third interpretation of Bittul. The Ramban's theory is based off Gemara on Pesachim Daf Vav Amud Beis, the second to last source on page 2. The Gemara here says, "Amar Rabbi Elazar, shnei dvarim einan bershusa shel adam v'asa nakasav ki'ilu bershusa." There are two things that a person doesn't really own, yet the Torah artificially treats it as if you own it. One is a bor bershusa rabim, right? You dig a pit in a public domain, and somebody trips, you're liable. So even though you don't have ownership, but because you created it, you're liable. And the second one is chametz misheisha osulamala, right? Chametz on Pesach, right? After chatzos on erev Pesach. So what the Gemara is getting at, as Rashi explains, is that halachically you don't really own anything that's asur b'hana. Right? If you can't derive benefit from something and you're not allowed to transact with that thing, so that's not really a form of ownership.
But it's culpability, though.
So Exactly. So the Torah says that chametz is aser b'hanah. You can't drive any benefit from it. You can't sell it. You can't gift it on Pesach. That strips a person of his ownership. But if you're stripped of ownership, how could you violate the iser of owning chametz on Pesach? So the answer is that the Torah says, even though it's not yours, the Torah treats it as yours with respect to the iser of ba'al yira and ba'al yimatze. That's what the Gemara is getting at, right? So from the normal halachos of choshei mishpat, you don't really own the chametz, because you can't use it for anything and you can't drive any benefit from it. That undermines your ownership. But there's a chiddush that you're still liable for holding onto it on Pesach. Okay? That's what the Gemara suggests in Vav Mabes. Good? Yeah? So the Ramban here on page 3, he quotes Tosos' Shita that the Bittul Chametz is a form of Hefker. And the Ramban goes all out. He launches a battery of arguments. Let me just give you a few examples. So in the fourth paragraph here, where it's underlined, section in the Ramban on page 3, see it says Vikasha, and there's a little one.
Yeah.
So the Ramban here is one question. Vikasha, if Tosus is right that the Bittul Chametz is Hefker, Im Kein Lama Hizkiru Kama Pa'amim B'chol Mesechta Zu Lashon Bittul, why does the Gemara keep referring to it as Bittul Chametz? The Gemara should have referred to it as Hefker chametz, right? Mi sani hefker sheshanu chacham b'chol makom, right? Is there something wrong with the phrase hefker that Chazal use in every other mesechta? So if bittul chametz is hefker, the Gemara should have just used that phrase. That's the Ramban's first argument against Tosos. Skip to the next paragraph.
Is it an argument against Rashi as well?
Well, no, because Rashi's not using hefker. Rashi thinks that the bittul is tashbisu, right? There's some just halachic chiddush that you could renounce your chametz. And what we'll
did Rashi, in fact, burn his chametz?
Yeah, everyone burnt their chametz in a day. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. So look at the next paragraph. V'od kasha. And this is the number 2, Ramban's second argument. Shehabitul davar pashat hu b'gemara below machlokes. Demidaraisa b'bitul ba'al masagilei. Bitul is uncontroversial. Right? Everybody agrees that the bitul gets you out of the isur chametz midaraisa. But the Ramban points out that hefker is disputed. The Gemara Nedarim has machlokas. What happens when you're mafkir something, right? So, like in Harold's case, you say, "I don't want to own my shore anymore." When do you lose title to the shore? Upon the proclamation that you're mafkir it, or
someone else taking possession?
Exactly. One view in the Tanaim is that you only lose your title when somebody else comes along and claims it from hefker. So, if I say I don't want to own my phone anymore, I'm mafkir it. It's mine until somebody comes and picks it up. Essentially, the hefker is just giving somebody else rishus to come and take it.
Yeah, but that's not true by hekdesh. If I make something hekdesh, because it is more than pick it up.
Right. Well, hekdesh is different from hefker. But the Ramban's saying that if it's true, if the bittul is a form of hefker, then you own your chametz until some non-Jew comes into your house and picks up those crumbs or those donuts that you're mafkir. So unless the non-Jew comes into your house and takes it before Pesach, you're still going to violate Ba'al Yira and Ba'al Yimatze, right? So look here, right before, so that was the second objection that the Ramban raised. Skip two lines. There's a comma, and the Ramban says, "Ulahach zvara hifkir chemtza kol zman shelo zachu bo gayim over." Right before the 3, right? You're going to violate Ba'al Yira and Ba'al Yimatze until somebody actually claims it. So it can't be that the bittul is hefker. Okay. Here's another argument that the Ramban launches against Tosos, number 3. The Ika d'Amri Hasam, Hefker bifnei shlosha have a hefker, bifnei shnayim lo have a hefker. There's a view in the Gemara Nedarim that hefker only works if it's in front of a bezdin. Right? You need 3 people to testify that you made it hefker in order for the hefker to be valid. And he says, we never find that we require 3 people to be present when you're mevatel your chametz. So if the bittul is a form of hefker, you should require a bezdin, just like hefker requires a bezdin.
Is Ba'al Yira and Ba'al Yimatze set two different prohibitions? You put it together almost
like... Yeah, because we always assume that they go together. They're shnei lavim. You can't really violate one without the other. That's clear in the Gemara. Okay, even though Billy doesn't like that.
You can, because you can...
How can you find it and not see it?
No, but the Gemara says that.
You can own it and not see it.
That's something else. Doesn't
yeah, but, I think, right, but it's Ba'al Yira and Ba'al Yimatze.
There's nothing to do with ownership.
Okay, the Ramban's fourth objection, number 4, is that we allow you to be mevatel your chametz on Shabbos, but you're not supposed to be mafkir things on Shabbos. Just like Chazal don't allow sales on Shabbos, so Chazal don't allow hefker on Shabbos. This is Ramban's argument. And if the bittul is a form of hefker, then you shouldn't be allowed to mevatel on Shabbos either. Okay, but it does seem clear, argues the Ramban, that the bittul would work on Shabbos. This gets back to your point earlier.
You could be mevatel, but not...
But not mafkir. Because hefker is a kind of transaction, right? You're like renouncing your title, or you're allowing somebody else to take title. The bittul is just like a nullification of the chametz. Right? It's not a mecha chumemkar. It's not a choshe mishpat transaction. So Ramban says, if it was a form of hefker, you shouldn't be allowed to do it on Shabbos. And the fifth objection that the Ramban raises, number five, this is at the end of the paragraph, ve'od kashali, sheshanu chachamim b'chol makom mevatlo b'libo, ve'hefker b'peh. Hefker always has to be verbalized, has to be explicated. Bittul, the Gemara always says, mevatlo b'libo, even if you just, you know, have in mind to be mevatlo, that's sufficient, which implies that the bittul is different from hefker. See, the Ramban's really going all out here. Right? He's like, launching his good arguments, yeah. Well, no, I put those in. I put those in just for to make it more perspicuous. Yeah. So just so we could follow along with what he's suggesting. Skip to the next paragraph, where the seven is. Here's the Ramban's seventh objection to Tosos.
Six.
Did I skip? Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe there was a six there at some point. V'odani mistapik b'inyan hazeh. Sharishonim kulam amru bibitol. Everyone agrees to the form, the nusach habitol, which is, kol chamira di'ika birshusi, yehe batil v'chashiv ka'afra. Right? The formulation is always batil and chashiv like afar. And the Ram points out that we never find that you could be mafki or something through saying that it should be considered like dirt. Because that like formulation doesn't cohere with what normally be required for hefker. Okay? And look at the next underlying section. Why would they even say it should be like dirt? Halo afro shel adam eino mufkar. Yeah, a person owns the dirt in his home, right? The dirt's not hefker. So if they wanted to be mafkir, they should have been more explicit about the formulation. So what's the Ramban's theory? So Ramban has this complicated idea of how the bittul works. So look at the next paragraph, the one that starts, Ela kachani omer. Shehabittul mo'il lehotzio mitoras chametz ulahachshivo ke'afar she'eno roi la'achila. So the bittul works to treat it as if it's not really chametz, and it's like dirt, and it's not roi la'achila. V'heter zemi divir Rabbi Shmuelu, da'amar shnei dvarim einan bershusa shel adam, va'asan hakasav ki'ilu hein bershusa. Lomar, de'kivan shelo hekbida Torah, ela shelo yehe chametz shelo bershusa. All the Torah was makbid on is that you shouldn't have chametz in your rishus. But v'yisuri hana einan mamon, v'lo karinan be'elacha, but you can never really own yisuri hana. Right, remember the Torah says you can't own these things. So bidinhu shelo yavar ala biklum. Really, you should never violate ba'ira and ba'yimatze. By the normal principles of the Torah, you don't have ownership to violate. Ela sheha Torah so ki'ilu hu bershuso lavar ala bishnei lavin ba'ira ba'yimatze mipnei shedaito ala v'hu rotze bikiyumo. The Torah only really makes you liable insofar as your mind is on your chametz and you want it to continue to exist. Lefikach zeh sheheskima daito ledas haTorah. Person then, who
despite it being asa b'hanah, you still override that with your mind.
Right. The Ramban saying, look, formal bialos you don't have.
And therefore you
so what's the yisur b'ayir rabbi maz? It's that extra. Even though the Torah asers it, I still want it. But if you're just mevatel yourself to what the Torah wants, right? Zeh sheheskimo daito ledas haTorah v'yotza levatlo. You say, yeah, I don't want to own any chametz on Pesach, just like the Torah says, it's not mine. I agree, right? I affirm what the Torah, the status that the Torah gives my chametz. Ela sheyehe motze mirshusa legamri, shuv eino over alav, delo karinan be licha, kivan shehu aser, ve eino rotze bikiyuma. So long as you don't want it, it never comes back into your rishus. That's the Ramban's chiddush.
Even if nobody picks it up?
Even if no one picks it up.
So he abandoned the first...
Because not hefker, according to Ramban. You only need somebody to pick it up if you're working through the mechanism of hefker. The Ramban's creating a new mechanism. He says the mechanism is something unique to chametz, which is, it's not mine, based off the normal principles of the Torah. The Torah says it's going to be mine if I have intent to maintain it over Pesach. So all I do in my bittul is I say, yeah, I don't want to maintain it over Pesach. Just like the Torah says, it's not mine, I agree. That's sufficient to make sure you don't violate Ba'ira Ba'imatzeh. So Ramban's argument is based off this idea that it's not really yours, Meikara. right? Because you can't own Yisuri Hana. Once you acknowledge that reality, so then you're in the clear for Bayira and Bayim Matzah.
You know, how does that play into our sale comments when we just come back
afterwards? I mean,
you know, that $300 bottle of scotch that Mitch has in his cabinet. He sold it. He knows that the guy can't come in and then take it and everything else. But in reality, he's saying, you know, no one's ever come in that we're aware of. So that bottle of scotch is, you know, I know it's going to be mine. Is mine.
So this could be a separate issue. So you're saying, can the bittul work in cases?
But you know, deep down, it's not leaving your possession.
I mean, like in cases where, like, oh, you really want to make a profit off it over Yontif or something, or you want to get it back right after Yontif, is that what you're saying? Sure. I don't think the Ramban would say, even in cases where you know you're going to get it back after Yontif, I think the Ramban would say you violate some sort of harama, right?
During
it's a subterfuge. You're still, so long as, like, during Pesach, you really don't want to benefit from your whiskey or your schnapps, whatever it is that you have in your cloud, the Ramban would say you're in the clear midoraisa.
They didn't have that selling at that time.
Why does the Ramban require a recital?
He doesn't.
Why wouldn't the recital simply be,
he doesn't. Yeah, the Ramban says that explicitly. He says, look, Chazal just made the recital because people forget it and they don't know what to say. But if in your mind, really, you just have das, you know Pesach is coming. We'll see a formulation in the Rambam also. You know Pesach is coming and, oh, gee, I really don't want to violate. I don't want to have any chametz. That you're able to say the bittul.
So if the bittul in principle. Is the same as instruction on Pesach, you find chametz in your house.
So we'll see there.
Why do you have to deal with it?
Right, so we saw that the bittul only works until it becomes aser. Once it's already Pesach and the chametz has its status of chametz, it sounds like it's too late to do the bittul. We'll address that in a few minutes. I'll get there.
Did you have bittul before Pesach?
You're saying in a case where you did the bittul before Pesach,
yes,
and then you find chametz on Pesach.
Following this to its logical conclusion.
Yeah, so we'll see. Rishonim think that in such a case, you're not really violating Bayira and Bayim Matzah.
Do I have to destroy it? The practical question.
Yeah, so I think if you never wanted it there and you still don't want it on Pesach, the Ramban would agree that midaraisa, you don't have to do beer. Okay, we'll see that. I think the Gemara is explicit about that even. Right, it's not chametz. Right. Yeah, we'll see a Rabag that even after you do the bittul, well, hold off. We'll address that in a few minutes.
They didn't have selling in those days, I assume.
They did.
Yeah, well, you could see, I mean, a lot of the opposition to the selling. So you could see that a lot of people who sell, like, the dust in their, you know, in their kitchen and those things, you don't really need that because the bittul accomplishes all those things. Right? You need the mechira for things that the bittul wouldn't work on. So, like, if the schnapps that I guess you really want to keep.
How long has mechira been in existence? Has it always been?
It hasn't always been, but definitely for like 200 years.
The Jews were
definitely for 200 years.
Whiskey, that was the big thing.
But the mechira is not really, the mechira is a totally separate institution, right? Okay. Everyone with me? Anybody have any interim questions before we move on?
If something's on sale and you buy stuff on it, but it's hummus or it's like whiskey, let's say, and you hold on to it, is that something you can sell and then have after? And even though
you're not supposed to, that's a mechira issue. If you think the mechira is legitimate, then l'chora yes. If you think the mechira is illegitimate, then l'chora no.
But before the mechira, I can still be mevatel and coming
to. Yeah, so we'll see. This could be a question. We'll talk about it also in a few minutes. Can you be mevatel chametz that you know about? Right, it's so like, oh, I know I have the whiskey. But most Rishonim think you can. Most Rishonim like, yeah, I don't want to be a benefit. But there's going to be a trade-off, like where if you intend to benefit from it on Pesach as whiskey, then your bittul is going to be inconsistent. What?
Then I have ownership again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because like if you, insofar, in as much as you want it, the bittul is not going to be effective. Okay, so we'll see that in a few minutes. Let's carry on. The Rambam also has a clear formulation of the bittul chametz. Different from both Tosos and the Ramban. And we'll see how the Rambam Shita gets played out on page 5. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. The Rambam writes, Umahi, second source on the page, Umahi ha-hashbasa zu ha-amura b'Torah. What is the tashbisu that the Torah refers to? Right, Harold's pasuk. Have the hashbis and Rashi's. He sheyivatel hachametz belibo. V'yachshov oso ke'afar. V'yasim belibo she'ein bershuso chametz klal. V'shakol chametz she'bershuso harehu ke'afar. So what is tashbisu? It's to have this mindset that you don't want the chametz, right? It's like dirt to you. That's what the mitzvah of tashbisu is. Yeah, absolutely.
How's that different from the
Rambam? What? How's it different from the Ramban? So the Ramban had this complicated appeal to the fact that the chametz is not really yours and you only violate the chametz if you want it. Rotze b'kiyumo. From the Rambam, it sounds like, and this is how the Achronim take it. Let's look at Rabbeinu Manoach and look at the way the Rambam is taken. So Rabbeinu Manoach comments in the Rambam. He says, "Miachar shebatel sulo over bebal yira ba yimatzei tahachi darshinon lekra lo yira lechal chametz betoras chametz v'al betoras afar yiraya." If it's afar, then you're allowed to see it. So qua chametz you can't possess it, but qua afar you can. So this already seems to suggest that what the Rambam is getting at. It's just that people have the right to define the kinds of commodities that they own. Right? And sometimes you own chametz to eat, and sometimes you own the same thing, but for a different purpose. Right? Not for consumption. Right? Like maybe you have chametz in your shampoo, or maybe you have Play-Doh that has like chametz in it, but you're not keeping it for chametz reasons. It's like for a play item. So you have the right to define whether this piece of food is going to exist as food, or whether you're keeping this food for some other reason, right? You're treating it like afar, right? You're using it as a stool.
Why is this not a hefker?
It's definitely not hefker.
He's treating it yafsho belipo. What does he say? The yafsho poso.
Ke afar.
The yasim belipo she'ein berkisa.
Chametz klal.
That's a psychological hefker, a mental hefker.
But hefker means that you're renouncing your ownership, right? That's what hefker means. Here it just sounds like you're saying that I'm chametz, yeah. But there's a semantic issue here that, like the Rabbeinu Manoach is pointing out, that Torah just says you can't possess it betoras chametz, but betoras afar, you could possess that thing. Well, this will become clearer in a second.
I can make that bottle of scotch as if it's dirt.
Yeah.
You know, I understand the play though.
So if you're genuine about it.
Yeah.
Right. So let's say you say like, oh, the bottle of scotch. You know, I'm no longer going to drink this bottle, but like it's a nice decoration, right? And it looks good on my shelf. So I'm going to keep it qua decoration, but like I don't really care about the chametz.
So under that scenario, I could literally put it out.
Yes, look at this. That's not how you take the Rambam.
That's not what he says. It's afar. It's not decorative. Afar is not decorative.
Okay, so look at the next source. Skip to the Rabag.
Do you have to do tashbisul in that case?
What?
You still have to do that.
So from the Rambam, it sounds like you're mekayim tashbisu through the bittul, right? Mahi hashbasa zu hamura b'torah, hu sheyivata l'chametz. Right, so the Rambam seems to be in Rashi's camp that the bittul suffices for even the mitzvah saseh of tashbisu.
Is there any situation in halacha when our minds can transform? Think about what Harold said, I don't own that cow anymore.
Right.
But I give someone a ring, a woman a ring that's not shavapruta, but in my mind, I'm saying, poof, shavapruta.
We do have that. It's achshave sometimes. So achshave could go in both directions. Achshave could be where you take something that's worth less, but because it's valuable to the parties, so their das gives it added value, right? But then also you have another direction. So for example, the Gemara talks about, let's say your sukkah is too tall, right? And then So you put like kalim and you put teven and you put stuff on the bottom of the sukkah thing, and then you're mevatel it there. You say, oh, I don't need that for the rest of Yontif. So now it becomes like the floor of your sukkah, right? So your das like creates the status of what those things are.
You could do it by treifas. If you say that this piece of meat is treif to me for whatever reason, it could be kosher to me and treif to you.
Yeah.
It's like a nether almost.
Look at this Rabag. The Rabag is a fascinating formulation. So this is Rabag in Shemos. This is the last verse on page 5, and he says the following. Zos hashbasa, again, tashbisu. He sheyivatlu hachametz ahu. So again, tashbisu is bittul. So all these Rishonim agree with Harold. V'yotzi'uhu mitoras ochel. Take it out of the category of food. What? And with Rashi, right. V'yiyeh nechshav lohem ke'even uche'afar uche'mashi yidam lohem me'advarim she'enam ru'im lachila. Consider it as non-edible entities, right? So this is like the scotch that you'll consider non-edible.
Where does
from
the
now
Torah
on.
Say ochel?
Well, what's yeah, I think the assumption here is that chametz is like a category of foods.
Why?
That's the Right. Why is that? Why is the assumption? But you see, Rabbi Menoch also has that assumption, right? Betoras chametz you can't. About betoras afar yira.
Where does it come from?
I think the assumption here is that chametz is like a category of food. That's the operative.
You have to think about Play-Doh and shampoo because it's. You don't have to think it's lower.
It already isn't. Yeah, that's the argument. A lot of people say that about Play-Doh and shampoo. That the question of what's chametz and what's not chametz only begins with what's considered foodstuffs.
Well, it's not really lachers kelov. They but the point is
that it doesn't even depend on whether it's roi lachila.
Well, okay.
If it's not ochel, even if it's roi lachila, so even if like you know, like Dr. Blumenkrantz's starving dogs will be willing to eat it. What?
The dogs will eat toothpaste.
Right. Even if they'll eat the toothpaste, the point is that if you think toothpaste is not ochel, then it's never in the category of chametz in the first place. Right. That's that.
I'm in that camp.
So look here. So this is what. This is what the Rishonim here are saying. So
dog food's a different problem.
So the Ralbag is saying that an owner has the right to define which of his commodities are considered foodstuffs and which are non-edible foodstuffs, right, for him. And all the Bittel is doing is giving you that leeway to say, oh, this is no longer considered food for me. Mitch, you don't...
I agree.
It's a chap, right? I mean...
Bread
so look,
too?
What?
Bread too?
Yeah, even bread, right? Even it sounds like you're saying Yotzi uhu mitoras ocha. Look at his examples. Harold, why is it making you upset?
You're upset that you spent so much.
What are the ba? Are they charging you too much for the mechiras chametz online, and now you realize it could just be mevata? So look at what the Rabag writes in the next paragraph. Hashoresh harishon hu. So again, it has to be done before the chametz becomes aser. Why? You have to have the status of an owner in order to define whether or not it's your ochel. Once you lose ownership, it's too late for you to redefine it as non-food. Then you have title over it. You won't use that bread, b'shimush ha-miyuchad bo, mitzad ma-shehu lechem. You're no longer going to use that bread, qua bread. Aval yishtamish bo shimush ha-afar, v'ha-even v'ha-dom lechem. But you could use it in the same way that you'd use dirt and you would use a stone. It's a big chiddush.
Pretty radical. That means I could use that loaf of bread to...
As a doorstop, yeah.
As a doorstop, right.
Yeah.
You're not getting hung off from the bread because it's not bread.
No, I understand, yeah. But he's saying
that entity, which was bread before, if you're mevatel it,
but then you're getting hanah from a doorstop.
I understand. Correct. Pretty radical, right?
Look how he flipped 180. You know, yeah.
He's sitting next to you.
You know, Harold's a lawyer. Whoever so the integrity will pay him doesn't matter which side. The guy could be a murderer. He'll defend him. The guy's innocent.
Now it's logic. Go ahead.
What happens is the kids come from kindergarten home and they have these artworks. They have noodles and other things that they paint right. And they glue.
As an artwork, it's fine, right? Just as long as
they keep it.
Yes, there's a big chiddush in this Ralbag, and what's the other Rishonim have a similar idea that once you're mevatel and you take it out of the category of food, you could even get some sort of hana from it because you're no longer benefiting from chametz. Okay. Look again. Shenemar tashbisu se'ar mibateichem ritzono lomar sheyashbisenu mishimusho hamiyuchadlo. Right. Negate its. Its special purpose, i.e. its chametz purpose, v'leze amar tashbisu v'lo amar tevaru. That's exactly why the Torah uses l'hashbis and not levayer.
It means not destroying. It means resting it from.
Changing its status or something. And look at Hashor Shasheni Hu, she'achar she'bitlo eino over ala b'bayi rabba yimatze, af al pisha nishar b'beso, she'harei eino se'or v'lo chametz etzel habaylim. Lefisha kvar hishpisar. It's no longer chametz for the owner because you negated its purpose. It's a great
I have a little difficulty in that if I sell my chametz, I'm looking at this bottle of scotch or this doorstop loaf of bread. I say, you know, right after the yontif, when I buy my chametz back, it becomes bread again.
So if you sell your chametz, I think your das is that you're not mevatel the stuff that you're selling. I don't know, I think it's going to be a tricky question.
In this case, you can never use that stuff again.
But you're... first, I'm about to, on 14th at night, and I
and I'm doing this sale the next morning.
Right, but I think you get it back. Like you, it's clearly you're machshav. If you're selling it, clearly you're machshav it.
It's a transient change of status.
We'd have to figure out how the bittul relates to the mechira, and whether like the fact that you're selling it means that you're repossessing it or re-acknowledging its status as chametz.
Can't even sell it.
How can I sell
it? Or
already
yeah, I think. So if that's if it's hefker, then you don't have title to it. You're repossessing it when you want to sell it. But even if it's bittul, you may be re-machshaving it, right? The fact that you're selling it qua chametz means that you're still recognizing it as chametz, right? So I think the mechira may. Right, so but then why would you why are you selling? You say, when you write the shtar, you say, my chametz is worth this, this, and this, and you have in mind those scotch bottles. So you could have...
You're even identified by location, according to what Rabbi
Olson is, and value also.
It's interesting that there's nothing that we do to regain ownership.
In the mechira.
Yeah, we go through everything to sell it and to get rid of it.
The rabbi rebuys it. He's your agent.
He buys it. Yeah. He's our agent, but there's no declaration that we're aware of.
Because nothing to do with if you do the mechira, it has nothing to do with bittul, right? It really has nothing to do with bittul. It's just that you sold it, you didn't own it on Pesach, and then you buy it back.
According to these guys, once I used that loaf of bread as my doorstop, that's it. I can never use it again as a loaf of bread.
Well, right? It's an interesting question whether you could return it back into bread after Pesach. It's an open question still.
But you know, I'm not talking about selling. I'm talking to these guys that say these guys that are saying you just
according to the rabbi, you can use it for
a doorstop.
Take care.
Rabbi, according to the rabbi, you can use it for other purposes as long as you're not using it for chametz.
That's what the rabbi said, right? The rabbi said you could use it for other purposes so long as you're not using it qua chametz. Right? Look here, in the bottom of page 5, you just have two formulations in the Rishonim about the Nusach HaBittul. So the first one is the Ravya, top of page 6. And you'll notice he follows the Bali HaTosfos. And he says, the top line of page 6, V'yesh mirabosai sheshamati shayu omrim kol chamira de'ika bebeisa hadin kule yehe hefker. So you see he throws in hefker. Vili batel have ka'afra. He says, some of his rebbeim throw in the phrase yehe hefker. Because they're assuming like the Bali HaTosfos. And the Or HaZeruya has our Nusach, where it just says, Amari, Amar Rav, Abodik Sar Shevata Balibo, Pirish Miyad, Samach Libidika, Yomar Kol Chamir Deika Bahach Besa, Libata Lahavika Afra. So you see, Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not we even have the formulation of Hefker in our Nusach HaBittul. What? So you'll see, some Sidurim have it in parentheses.
Yeah, sure. What does Sfarim
So I don't know, you have to check. But the question of the Nusach HaBittul tracks this Machlokas Rishonim, whether or not the Bittul is Mitam Hefker. Or mitam the tashbisu of Rashi, the elaborated tashbisu of the Ramban, or the Rambam's Ralbag's idea that you're just changing it from food into non-food stuff.
And are you mavatel kidneys as well? They're not really.
Yeah, you don't have to. Kidneys is not. You don't have to. There's no iser. You just it's a minag. You don't have to mavatel it. On page 6, you see the Rishonim take this idea further. So suppose the bittul really works. Right, you're changing it out of its status of achila. So we spoke so far about two of the mitzvos, tashbisu, did you fulfill the proactive mitzvah of destroying the chametz, and not violating bayir and bayim matzeh. But what about the itzer of achilas chametz?
You mean if you do go all of this and then you
eat what? Afar?
Yeah, so you go all in, you're mevatel.
As soon as I eat,
and you're mevatel.
Eating afar and
no, yeah. Once I eat it, I'm moving it back from afar.
Good, so that's going to be the question.
Because I would eat
afar. Beluyitzuyer, suppose we could create a construct where you could eat it, right? Maybe you like eating afar or something. You eat it, but not qua.
Carcophilia.
Yeah. It's like eating. People, if you eat this, so when would you say that the bittul is so strong that it changes the status of the chametz, such that there's grounds to say that even achila should be mutter, because not achila is chametz anymore. It's like eating. You eat shampoo. You taste a little shampoo while you're showering, and it happens to have chametz in it. Is that an iser of achilas chametz? What? So if the bittul really works, then
that's good. The shampoo was always shampoo.
Right. Yeah. But he was really bread that you're mevatel.
No, they do bittul. There's no difference between that and shampoo.
Reverse it. Right. You're saying maybe your eating could reverse it, but let's say you didn't have das to reverse it, right?
But you're really getting hung up.
You know, the classic example is, you have a, let's say you have a pot that you use for chametz, a little chametz was nivla into the pot, you're mevatel that, right? And then you end up using that pot by accident on yantif, and it comes back into the food. So does it come back into your food as dirt or as...
Okay. I know I can do things because after Pesach, I know I can now eat my chametz again. So.
Yeah, but maybe it's maybe eat or not.
No, it starts over.
He's saying Beatles forever.
Beatles forever.
Maybe. Let's see the Rishonim. So here on page 6...
They have the concept of, I think you were making reference to, a pica, craving and chewing substances that have no nutritional value, such as ice, clay, soil, or paper.
People, there you go.
It's a type of sickness.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's for sure.
A lot of you didn't get sick with it on Pesach. If they do the bittul and then start wanting to eat their chametz. So look what the Sefer HaMichtam writes in Psachim Daf Vav. Sefer HaMichtam is one of the Provençal Rishonim who wrote a commentary on Sechet Psachim. So here he writes, commenting this Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, this is the photostated part. Amar Rava, Shema Yimsa Gluska Yefevi Avedaita Ilave. So the Gemara here says, even after you do Bedika, you should still do Bittul. This is what the Gemara is talking about. Right. Even after you did the bedika, you should still do. Sorry, even after you did. Yeah. Even if you do the bedika, you should still do bittul. Why? Amar Rava, Shema Yigumtza Gluska Yefeifi Avedaiti Lave. Because you might find on Pesach a piece of chametz that looks really nice, and you'll want to eat it. Okay, so why is that problematic? So he says, Pirish. The yitain daite alav aleha v'yochlenu v'yischayev karis ach ata shebitla. But if you do the bitl v'asa'a ke'afra afilu achla have ke'ochel afar upater.
Wow.
This is the Sefer HaMichta. Wow. Now the Sefer HaMichta, he quotes this, he doesn't like it.
What?
The Sefer HaMichta says v'hai pirusha lesa klal. It just says, it can't be that Bittul is going to save you from the Yisra Achilas Chametz. But the first parish that he quotes says, no, that's exactly what the Bittul does, right? It's no longer Chametz. So when you eat it, you're eating it Bittoras Afar. And now it's going to be Mutter Ba'achila. Wow. Very radical view, right?
Yeah.
You can see the Maram Chalava, also one of the, well, he's one of the Svardik we showed him, who wrote a parish on Maseches Pesachim. So he challenges the theory that look here in the next photocopied source. So he talks about the bittul, and then look. So he's trying to challenge he's a Rabbeinu Tam person, so he thinks that the bittul works b'toras hefker. Okay, and one of his arguments that the bittul can't be, like the Ralbag and Sefer HaMichtam are saying that it's, you're changing it, and the Ralbag said that you're changing it into non-ochel, is that if that were to be the case, then look here about 7 lines down. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So after the line of Rabbeinu Tam, so he says, Umashvi le afra. He says, were it to be the case that you're really turning into afar, kiven debatle, Sulo avar ale, you wouldn't violate by Rabbi Mate. Be'afal gav the isay v'irshuse mishum da'afra ba'al machashiv. It's only dirt, so you're not violating by Rabbi Mate. But if that were to be the case, im kain yehe mutter b'hana'a afilu b'pesach. Then it should be mutter b'hana'a on Pesach, because you get a lot of benefit from afar. De'bishloma ba'achila. It makes sense, even according to that view, why it would be usher to eat chametz. Why? Because i'achile ha'yahiv da'ite ale l'mechshava achila l'din chametz. That's exactly like Dr. Shulman said. Because if you're eating it, then you're machshav it. Right? So you're clearly nullifying your bittul. But he says, Alahana lahava namika afra. Afra mi asr bahana. He says, look, but you should still be able to get hana from it because, you benefit from things that you're not machshav. What? Right. Maybe he would say that you should be able to. Right, because maybe just eating it is machshav it, bringing it back into its status of chametz. Right, other hanaz would be mutter. So this is a real din back and forth, and we've shown that if you take this view seriously, that the bittul is taking it out of its status of chametz, then you should be able to have these other heterim also of hana and
anah. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Just give it to your chicken.
Yeah. Okay, so here we have, we'll wrap up in the next few minutes. But in the next section, which we'll just skip over for now, I'll just stay outside very briefly. There's a discussion whether, what we touched on earlier, whether the Gemara in a few places assumes biur, right? And you can see here on page 7 in the second source, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, there's a Gemara in Pesachim Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph in the second source on page 7. Look, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein biur chametz ela sreifa, v'chacham omrim af mefar v'zore l'ruach hamat eliyam. Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to burn your chametz. Ein biur chametz ela sreifa. And the chachamim hold, oh, you could like rip it up, throw it into the sea, toss it in the air. But why did anybody say bittel? Right? If bittel is really a form of biur chametz, so why doesn't bittel make it into this discussion? So it's a big discussion back and forth in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim think that there's something special about actually destroying the object of the chametz. So like the physically destroying it. But other Rishonim seem amenable to the idea that no, even through the bittel, right, through renouncing it mentally, you're mekayim the mitzvah of biur chametz tashbisa.
You have to actually do the sreifa.
So it's avodah zarah is complicated because in avodah zarah we do say sometimes. Yeah, you can mevatel.
Especially you can grind it up. The whole question would be to get hanover.
No, right. You bury it in the ground.
Right.
Bury it in the ground.
That's in order to get hanover from it. I think there is a category of bittul. We always talk about avodah zarah shebittul lo yisrael.
No, you have to own the avodah zarah to bittul.
Right, but if you own it, you can mevatel it. Okay. Right. So that's the.
Okay.
You know, it's like there's a whole discussion even for non-Jews. Like, you know, if you don't go into churches, but you go into mosques, because a lot of people think mosques aren't avodah zarah. So you have all these churches, like in Turkey, that were converted into mosques, right? So that's kind of bittul, right? Because the non-Ovdei Avodah Zarah are there mevatel it. Like the Hagia Sophia is an example. Right? It was taken over by the Ottomans and turned into a mosque. So that may be a form of bittul where it's mutter for a Jew to go into because it's no longer
Maybe
Avodah Zarah.
The biur is just more symbolic.
Maybe
it's just symbolic. Because, fine, your bittul is, you know, an oral nullification, but... You know, when you see it burned, it's just...
Right. It's like a nice mock of
the pot. Nice thing, the kids see it, you know, they get it, they get it.
Well, also, those that, I mean, we symbolically burn our chametz. You know, the scotch that Billy has in his cabinet, he's not burning. He's mevatel that, but he's not doing beer.
Just to flush it down as well.
Yeah, well, that's tricky. I mean, the scotch thing is tricky because you're selling it, so that complicates the whole discussion, right? If you really intended to like give it some other purpose and you were mevatel it sincerely, then that may be a form of beer. I think the explanation here is, again, as somebody mentioned earlier, that maybe Dr. Shema, I think you mentioned it earlier, that the beer, that the bittul is not less than actually burning the chametz. Like in a certain sense, it's more powerful than the actual destruction of the object, because that's the mitzvah of Pesach. It's like to disassociate from the chametz that you own. So it's not obvious that physically destroying the chametz is a greater key in mitzvah of tashbisu than actually renouncing all the chametz that you owned, right? Or saying, I want all my chametz to be null and void. That's a real key in mitzvah of tashbisu. There's an argument to be made that there is a real key in mitzvah. Here, let me give an example.
What you're burning is only what you found. You're not burning what you didn't find. So that's right. Why the bittul is really the nullification of what
it's
you
critical.
Didn't find.
Yeah. Just look here at the Rambam on page 7, the second to last source on the page. So the Rambam here, it talks about the nusach ha-bracha, of different brachos that we make. And the Rambam establishes the klal that, let's see here, let's leave the Rambam inside. Natal as ha-lulav, so you lift the lulav, mevarech al netilas lulav, Shekivan shehigbio yotzei dechavaso. Right, the moment you pick up your lulav, you're yotzei already. So aval im birech kodem sheyito mevarech lito lulav kama leshe basuka. Whenever you make a bracha before the action, so then it's really over lasiyasan. Then it should be like lito lulav or leshe basuka before you sit down. But if you're making the bracha after you already did the action of the mitzvah, so then it's alasiya. Right, so lihadlik ner shel Chanukah is because before, but Al Natilas Lulav is after because you already picked up your Lulav when you made the bracha. Okay? Skip to the underlying section. Rambam applies this to chametz. So what do we say for our bracha of chametz? Al Bir Chametz. Right? Al Bir Chametz. So the question is, why, if you're making the bracha before you burn the chametz, shouldn't you really say levayer chametz? Right? Rambam says v'kachu mevarich al biur chametz, bein shabadak la'atzma, bein shabadak la'acherim. So al biur chametz means that you already did the act, you already did the mitzvah biur, right? Shemisha'a shegamar belibo levatel, nasis mitzvah sabiur kodim sheyodok. Look, when you start, when you get ready to do the bedika, you have in mind basically to get rid of your chametz. That's why you're doing the bedika. But since you already have that intention in mind, it turns out that once you start the bedika, you already fulfilled the mitzvah of biur chametz. Because implicitly you had dast mevata your chametz. You don't want it anymore. That's why you're engaged in this process. So Rambam saying, willy-nilly, any engagement in the mitzvah bedika is already too late to be over last yasan. Because clearly your das is right.
You can verbally state, I'm not going to do it until after.
I don't know if that would work, because the Rambam is saying that you, your das was clearly to get rid of your chametz.
So why do you do that?
Right, exactly. This is Rambam Lushitaso. He thinks that this is tashbisu. Right, the Rambam said that part of tashbisu is bittul. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Well.
Yeah, so what he did.
There's nothing special about beer according to this.
Okay.
Right, that's exactly the point. That even when you're trying to do the beer, you're already yotze the beer through the das that you had for the bittul. Yeah. So let me just on page 8 here, we have another discussion with respect to the bittul chametz. And this is the question: why do they require bidikas chametz after you do the bittul? Right, because the bittul really accomplishes everything. So then why do you even need the bidika? Right, it's a good question.
Aren't we doing at night? We're doing bittul that we don't know that.
Yeah, that's true. But then why not just say lechatchilas to just mevatel everything?
Know about it,
what do you have the headache of doing a bedikas chametz at home? Good, that's what Gemara is going to talk. Shema yimsa gluskiyafa daiti lave. So the Ran here has a discussion. So this is the bottom of page 8. And he says, look, it's such a mess. Why do you have all these different ways of getting rid of chametz? We have bittul, we have bedika, we have beer. What's going on here?
Just to be sure.
Well, okay. So good. Exactly. That's what he says. So he says, for example, so let's start from the beginning of the round for a moment. Elakachu ikran shel dvarim. Shezesh amra Torah tashbisu, yachal lehiskayim be'echad mibeiz dvarim. O sheyivatel belibo kol chametz sheyetz birshuso, ve'yotzienu b'machshavto mirshuso. One way of doing tashbisu is just the bittul. Next paragraph. Oh, im lo bitlo belibo klal tzarach min haTorah sheyivdok achra b'chol makom shehu ragel limatzei sham v'yivarenim min olam. If you don't do the bittul, then you need the bedikah and the beer. Okay, and he says uvivir zeh. That's the machlokas whether you have to burn it or whether you have to toss it into the ocean. That's the machlokas about beer. But everybody agrees that if you do the bittul, you're in the clear. Skip to the next paragraph. So then why do they require both? Underline section. Right, it's like a mental process. The ein deosehen shavos. The efshar sheyiklu bekach v'lo yotziu miliban legamri. Some people aren't going to do the bittul sufficiently, right? They're not going to do it appropriately. Ro chachamim lahachmir shelo yasbek bittul v'etzrichu bediko bir shehu masbek gamkein min haTorah. So one theory for the Ran is we're really just worried about the people who won't do the bittul in the right way. Right? It's really surprising. Like, we usually think that the bittul is the afterthought. Right. Here, the Ran is saying, no, the bittul is the real way that you're mekayim tashbisu and getting out of the Isur Chametz. Oh, somebody might not do the bittul the right way, so they'll do the bedika. We think of it in the inverse way. We think, oh, if you don't do the bedika the right way, oh, at least I have the bittul. Okay. Or the Ran says, and this is the next underlined section in that paragraph, we're also worried that, look, you're mevatel the Dunkin' Donuts that are sitting on your counter, but when you see them on Pesach, you may be enticed to eat them. So we made a takana, you should do the bedikas chametz. Well, right, if you hold like the Sefer HaMichtam, maybe ain't a chanami. But if you don't hold like the Sefer HaMichtam, then because we're worried about that case, the yimsa gluska yafeh, that's why we require the bedikah and the beer. But we only require the bedikah and the beer because we're afraid that people won't be consistent with their... So yes, you can mevatel your schnapps, right? And that's good enough. But then when you see them there sitting on Yontif and you have your guests over at the Seder, you might want to have a l'chaim or something. So because we're worried about your l'chaims, so we say you have to get rid of them as well.
Except we are so
chametz-phobic,
I think.
No one's going to do that.
No, but it could be a much simpler case. Let's say you have animals, you left chametz on your yard. They eat it, you get hanaf from it. It's the same issue.
Yeah.
It's not you anymore. It's you get hana through the animal eating it.
Yeah. So let me. I'll just say outside the next three sections that I was gonna discuss. But there are possible.
Day that accessible was ever for that. If it's dust and your animals eat,
yeah,
it,
for sure.
Rocks and
but
dust,
you're getting hana.
But he said even you can get hana, right? It's not hana qua ochel, right? Right. It's like using it as a doorstop. But if a doorstop or your dog, or again, it's not that all the Rishonim hold of that idea. It's a very radical idea. So there are three. What are the possible limitations where bittul won't work? All right. So there are three possible limitations. Only the first one is agreed upon by all Rishonim. This is on page 9. The Gemara in Pesach Madaf Vav Mabes is very clear that the bittul only works before the chametz becomes aser. So you can only be mevatel until Pesach at Chatzos. Right. Or Pesach at Chatzos. Once it's no longer yours, it's too late. Okay? Because once it's aser b'hana, it's too late to change its status or to revoke the title that the Torah gives to you.
Is that chametz thing? You didn't own or know about before. I mean, what's the situation? Because before Pesach, I'm doing bittul chametz on anything that I know about.
Right, right. About. I think it's if you didn't do the bittul. Oh. If you totally forgot to do the bittul until Friday, until Erev Pesach afternoon, then it's too late to do it.
Or you bought chametz on Pesach.
You bought chametz afterwards. You can't buy chametz on Pesach and then be mevatel. That's another good example. Right. And again, the Rabag was clear because you only have this privilege to define the commodities that you own while you own them. Like, I can't define what your chametz is, whether it's food or not food, so you have to own it first, and that only exists before Erev Pesach at Chatzos. That's one important limitation. On page 10, we have a second possible limitation. This is not agreed upon by all Rishonim. In fact, only two Rishonim hold this idea. And even one of them probably doesn't hold it. It's one girsa in a Rambam. And that's the idea that the bittul only works on chametz that you don't know about. Okay. So it's a very... Right, it's the opposite of what... De chazite u de lo chazite, de biarte, de la biarte. So there's one girsa in the Rambam. It's not the girsa that we have. Look here on page 10, second source. This is the girsa that we have in the Rambam. Umahi hashpasa zu amura b'torah, hishe yivat la chametz b'libo, v'yachshav oso afar, v'yasim b'libo, she'en b'rshus o chametz klal. That's our girsa. So there's no qualification that it's only chametz that you don't know about. The Kesef Mishnah quotes a girsa yishana of the Rambam in the next source, which says, "Umahi ashbasazu hamur b'Torah, he she yasir hachametz hayadua lo mirshuso. You should remove the chametz that you know about. V'she'eno yadua yivatlo belibo v'yasim oso ka'afar. And the chametz that you don't know about, that you should be mevatel." So some read this Rambam. This Girsa Yishana is really arguing that the bittul only works on chametz she'enu yidua lo. But if you know about the schnapps that's on your, you can't be mevatel it. Because it's, you know, it's almost like you're being inconsistent or you're being disingenuous. Because if you knew about it, then you would have been. But it's not, I mean, we don't paskin that. It doesn't seem like we paskin this way.
So,
we said bittul, like Yama said, is such a powerful way.
Yeah.
But you can make the argument that if it's obvious that it's staring in the face, and, you know, you should try to destroy.
How thorough do you need to be? I know you're talking about nullifying, but if you know you're not going to be around Mitzvah Shem, that you're going to be leaving the home, how thorough do you have to do?
Yeah, that's a good question.
The cleaning.
I don't know. That's a Bedikas Chametz question. You know, I think.
This lecture is not
Bedikas. Yeah, it's good. We can't cover it. I don't know.
That's right.
Today I'm a bittul chametz person.
Close. It's
close. Yeah, but it's. Yeah, I mean, if you're not home at all, then right.
So your whole house.
Yeah. So it is. I mean, if you think so, if you do a good bittul,
right.
If you do a good bittul, so they say if you're you know within 30 days, you're not leaving before 30 days, you should do some sort of bedika. It doesn't have to be as rigorous as a bedika that you would do otherwise.
Well, you do the routine bedika.
Yeah, I think
but
you know that's usually
aside from that, right. In preparation.
Well, you should make sure you don't have any known chametz. You know, or like obvious chametz hanging around. That's like the main.
You should get rid of your chametz.
Or sell it, or.
Right.
Yeah, that's true, for sure.
Sell.
Yeah.
But in terms of cleaning.
Yeah, it should be like a basic cleaning, I think. That's the. But I don't know, I can't speak intelligently about it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. The question is how much, you know.
You don't have to kasher your sinks and your tabletops and stuff. If you're going away, you're going away. If you're not, no intention to come back.
Yeah, I mean, look, it really does depend on this discussion, because if you think that the concern, the reason why you do the bedika in addition is because you might find the chametz that's sitting there and you're not going to be home, then the bedika gains is much more significant, right? Because the bedika really solves all your real problems. There's a chashash that you may end up, you know, eating something, but you're not going to be home, right? So that's why the bedika would be less significant than in a case where you're not home. There's one sheet in the Gaonim, in the next source in the Kolbo, that he quotes from the Gaonim, the underline section. So after the space in the underline, he says, "Umasha amru midaraisa bebitul ba'amasagi lo al chametz yadua she'efshar lo levayer." Doesn't apply to chametz that's known that you could destroy. Ela al hasfekos ve'al she'enam mizuman levayer. It only applies to the chametz that you don't know about and the chametz that you can't easily destroy. That's the safer kolbo. That's like this girsa yishana in the Rambam, which severely restricts the efficacy of the bittul. But again, it's only the kolbo and that old girsa in the Rambam.
What sheino is on the fire?
So the gemara, that the case that the gemara gives, it talks about you have chametz on top of this. Let's say on top of this bookshelf.
You can't reach it.
Yeah, or it's like, you know, it's hard for you to get out. You have to find a ladder to get up there, so you can just mivatel it. That's in a mezuman lo, right? Or the cases where you're traveling to the bar mitzvah on Erev Pesach, and it's very hard for you to get home to destroy it, so you can just move out to Beliva. But this is almost like our layman conception of the bittul, which is just that, if I can't destroy it, then I can move out to it. That's the Kolbo and the Girsa Yishana and the Rambam. The Sholem Eshiv on page 11 is a very interesting idea. He says that it's a very clever suggestion. He says that what's really underlying these shitas, like this Girsa Yishana and the Rambam and the Kolbo, is the concern that many of you raised, that, well, how could the bittul be significant if you're really just going to use that chametz after Pesach? Right, so you mevatel the schnapps on Pesach, and then you intend to use it afterwards. So he says that maybe if the chametz... So he says there's machlokas in the Gemara about chametz avar lava Pesach. Right, if you owned chametz on Pesach, and now it's after Pesach, are you allowed to get hanah from it or not? You got to eat it or not. So he says, according to the view in the Gemara that you could get hana, you could eat it after Pesach. So that view is going to hold that you can't be mevatel chametz that's known, because you're clearly just intending to save it for after Pesach, and then you're going to consume it. So that like nullifies your bittul. But according to the view that chametz shavalav Pesach, which is owned by Yisrael, is aser ba'achila, so I think the suggestion here is that you wouldn't be allowed to eat the schnapps that you held over Yontif, so then everybody would agree that you can mevatel chametz that you know about. Because since you can't consume it after Yontif anyway, so it's going to be mutter for you to just mevatel it. It's not an obvious suggestion, because you might say, well, if the bittul works, then he didn't really own chametz over Pesach, and of course it's going to be mutter b'achila afterwards. So he's assuming that even after you mevatel the schnapps, it's still as if you had chametz in your rishus, which could be usher for consumption afterwards, right? Which is probably all the rishonim who hold that the bittul is effective would just deny that. It's like selling your chametz. So you didn't own chametz over Pesach, the mele will be mutter be'achila. There's one other possible restriction on the bittul chametz. This objection is raised by the Shagas Aryeh. And the thrust of it is the Gemara in Psachim Adaf Hei Meral. This is on page 11. So the Gemara in Psachim there says that in addition to owning chametz, which makes you violate Bayra and Bayimatzeh, the Gemara says that if you have liabilities for chametz, you're going to violate Bayra and Bayimatzeh.
What does that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean for a liability?
Well, what are
so the classic example
is... You mean if you're going to take delivery of an order that you placed, I know that I'm going to get that order?
So the example here that the Gemara gives is apparently like the Jews in Babel had to quarter soldiers, non-Jewish soldiers, right?
Right, okay.
And those soldiers had chametz, kept their chametz in the Jewish homes, and it was owned by the guy. But if the Jewish home got destroyed or something, or if that chametz was missing from the Jew's home, they would hold the Jew liable for the missing chametz. So the Gemara says, in those cases, you have to get rid of that chametz, right? Well, yeah, good luck, right?
Yeah.
Because you hold the liability that you have to reimburse the guy for losing or destroying his chametz, that's a kind of ownership. And so you have to destroy it before Pesach. That's the story that Rava.
Explain that to the Goyim.
Yeah, I had to explain it to them.
Very
delicately.
We don't have food for you. Sorry, you can eat matzah.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
You have liability.
Yeah, but the Gemara assumes that
liability.
The Gemara says Davar Agorim LaMamon KeMamon Dami. That because it inadvertently triggers a chi of mamon, it's as if you own it directly. It's a form of ownership.
Shomer Sachar is also.
Yeah.
That's a very tricky one.
Yeah. It's a very tricky thing because also, let's say you're an insurance man, right? And you insure people's like commodities and then you end up insuring chametz. Let's say you insure Gaisha. You're an insurance company that insures a non-Jewish chametz store.
You're a company, you're not an insurance.
All right. Let's say an individual in this case. So that would be the classic case like this, right? Where you're going to be liable for Bayi Rav, Bayi Matzeh through the achrayas, through the liabilities. Those kinds of cases. So the question, though, is the Shagasari has this brilliant idea that in that case, the bittul won't work because it's a case where you're considered to be an owner of the chametz, but only circuitously. The guy is the owner; you're just insuring it. And since you're not the owner,
you can't be
mavatal. It's a very good chaf, right? And you might say, you know, this is an interesting question, like for all these issues of, so let's say you own chametz stocks, right? I guess I spoke about the shal shudis, but let's say on the assumption that let's assume it's a bayi rav bayi matzeh problem, because you're like a kind of owner. You might say that you're an owner only in terms of like the achrayas, because like you incur a loss if something happens to the chametz or something like that. But you're not really an owner to be mevatel the chametz, right? So if you own shares of General Mills, you can't say, oh, mevatel all their chametz, because you're not an owner in that sense. So you might say you're an owner le'inyan bayirah bayimatzeh, but not an owner with respect to the right to be mevatale. And this is what the Shagasari is getting at in this tshuva. So he says, this is an interesting suggestion.
What are you supposed to do?
What? So yeah, so he says you really, you have to destroy it in that case. That's what he... And I don't know about the stocks case, because the stock case, I think you're fine. But in the Goyisha case, yeah, he's like, you can't be mevatel, you really have to...
He's suggesting you have to destroy the corded food for the army?
Yeah, that's what the Gemara suggests, even. That's what Rava says, and the Shagasari says, why can't... He says, you can't be mevatel it because you don't own it. He says, and that's exactly why the Gemara said that you have to destroy it. Otherwise, the Gemara could have said you would have been mevatel.
Is that the common acceptance, or...
Yeah, so we'll see. Well, I'll say so. look here on page 12. The suggestion of the Shagasari, the underlined section on top of page 12. Ki mevatlo umafkiro mai have. When you try to be mevatel or mafkir this chametz, what's going to happen? Hakodim bitol nami lavdi dehu. Right? It's not even yours before the bitol. So of course you're not empowered to be mevatel. Now the Imre Bina and other achonim disagree. They say, well, whatever it is that allows you, and it's an interesting question. They say, the reason why you're going to be liable for the chametz is because the Torah views you as a kind of owner, right? Whatever kind of owner you are, you have the right to renounce it, right? You have the right to be mevatel it. I mean, it's a tricky question. Look at the formulation.
Why does the Torah view you as an owner if you're only contingently liable on some occurrence happening?
It's a general cloud.
Yeah, it's a general cloud that like davar hagorim lemamon. You have an owner. The ownership stake is manifested in this possibility, right? The possibility of the liability, or you actually are liable.
No matter how remote
happens.
The possibility is,
so you have to figure out how remote
and
how remote.
The insurance guy, one in a million cases, the warehouse burns down that I'm insuring for the guy that is the breadcrumb factory.
Right. There's still an ownership stake that the insurance company has. Right.
Mm-hmm. You don't like that. No, I don't like that.
Oh, it's like a showman.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah, you have to. It's an interesting question. You
too
have to.
Contingently liable. I mean, it's a.
You're limited liability.
What?
He wants limited. You want limited.
Just look at the formulation in the Imre Bina after the three dots.
Contingently, 99 out of 100 times something's going to happen, then maybe I should be liable.
In the last paragraph,
insurance on the insurance.
Right. Yeah. Then more people are going to be out of chayes. So look at the last after the three dots in the Imre Bina. In the last paragraph, it's a bit of mahani be'emes. She thinks that bittul would work in these cases just like in cases of real ownership. And v'gam achrei degali kra delo yimatzei mahani, gam kein bittul l'machshava ka'afra. V'chol zechush sheyesh lo b'kiyumo shel chametz uvi ha'edro, yavu lo hefzid, even if he has a zechus such that he'll incur a loss if the chametz gets destroyed, Mevatel haschus, umashvik offer. You could still say that you're being mevatel that privilege or that right. Afdiyya lo al yadeza hefsed l'shalem l'baylov. Even if were there to be some sort of loss you'd have to pay, still you could renounce it. Right, that shouldn't, this kind of like limited ownership stake that you have through the liability should never be more powerful than like true ownership. So if you could renounce true ownership, then you should be able to renounce this mixas ownership,
okay,
even if you're not the real bailam. I mean, it's controversial. You see that, you see the tension here. The tension here is that, yeah, I mean, you might say whatever artificial ownership you have through the liability, you should have the power to renounce it.
Right.
Right? You could renounce that ownership stake. But the Shagasari is saying it's not the right kind of ownership. Only true ownership gives you the right to be mevatel and redefine what the chametz is. Not this circuitous kind of ownership through davar agorim l'mamon k'mamon dami.
So if the court comes to you and they claim that you owe a certain amount of money, you say, no, I don't really owe it.
So he's saying that still inyan chametz, you could be mevatel it, even if you're going to come to some sort of, even if you're still going to be liable at the end of the day. Right? It's like that liability was not something that you wanted. It's not something that you like foresaw before Pesach. You said, look, if it's up to me, then like, you know, I don't want these goyim to have the chametz in my rishus, and I don't want any hana from it. At the end of the day, something happened, you end up being chayiv, that's like a separate issue. That's what he's getting at.
You sell the chametz,
it's a nice, I think it's a nice suggestion.
When you sell the chametz, you have the goy's chametz in your rishus.
Yeah.
Are you liable to...
No, because you actually sell him that area. You actually sell him like the whole closet that it's in, and it's considered his rishus with respect to all these.
That's why the rabbi asked you to identify
the location.
Six check boxes, and then other. It's a whole complicated form nowadays.
So let me just run over quickly. So there are three possible restrictions on the bittul chametz. The first one is clear in the Gemara that once it becomes asur, it's too late to do bittul. The second one is only held by the kolbo and one girsa on the Rambam, which is that you can only mevatel chametz she'eino yadua, chametz that's not known to you, but if chametz is known to you, the bittul won't work. Almost all the Rishonim disagree. They say the bittul works on everything. The third possible restriction is this idea of the Shagas Aryeh, that if you have chametz through achrayis, then you can't be mevatel because that's not the right kind of ownership that allows for bittul. So just to review very quickly and to sum up. So we saw five issues in the question of bittul chametz. So the first is just these three areas of chametz. So ba'yirel, ba'yimatzei, tashpisu, and not eating chametz.
I think it's an hour ago. The pasuk you showed us for tashpisu says ba'yom harishon.
Yeah. So they say we darshan that it means the yom harishon is the erev.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the gemara. The gemara works on it. Don't worry. Yeah, erev Pesach in general is always interesting because it can sometimes be called yom harishon. Right. Also, Erev Pesach has like a special status of like almost being the Orlar Basar. There's a lot of evidence that.
We didn't say Vayhi Noam last night.
Also.
At least where I was, because Erev Pesach is considered.
Then we looked at the nature of the Bittul Chametz and how does it work? Is it a kind of Hefker like Tosos thought? Or is it through the idea, like Rashi, like the Ralbag and the Rambam seem to have, that you get to define what's considered ochel, like what commodities are considered food and what are not considered food? Or is it the Ramban's idea that none of the chametz is really yours in the first place, just the Torah artificially makes it yours on the assumption that you want it? But once you say, I don't want it, then the Torah is not putting it back into your rishus. Okay? So the three real different interpretations of what the bittul is doing. This related to the question of the scope of the bittul chametz. What does it accomplish? So on the most limited interpretation, the bittul chametz only gets you out of bal yirah and bal yimatzei. That was Tosus's view, because all you're doing is renouncing title. It's not yours. If it's not yours, you don't violate the issur of bal yirah, bal yimatzei. According to Rashi and the Rambam, the bittul goes further, and it's a proactive kiyum of the mitzvah of tashbisu. Right? This is actually destroying your chametz. According to the Sefer HaMichtam and the Ralbag, and the Maram Chalava and Psachim, the bittul even gets around the Isra Achila and Hana of Chametz, right? Because once it's no longer Chametz, then you have almost the right to consume it or to derive benefit from it. The Achila question was controversial because it may be that the very act of eating it is a kind of Achshave, right? The very act of eating it makes it back into Chametz. But in principle, these Rishonim seem to allow that the bittul takes it out of its status of Chametz. Then we looked at the question of why would you need The bedika, if we already have the bittul. So here we saw the Ran's discussion. And the Ran said, oh, it's only for the people who, you know, don't do the bittul properly. Or his second suggestion, which was, what was the Ran's second suggestion? Not just for the people who don't do the bittul properly. Oh, that you might end up seeing the chametz.
You might see the Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, you might see the Dunkin' Donuts on the counter and eat it on Pesach. And then we looked at three possible restrictions on when the bittul may not apply. Right, so that's after it becomes usur. It's chametz that's known to you, and it's also possibly the chametz that's owned through achrayus. And just to conclude, just one further thought, which Dr. Shulman introduced at the beginning, that if you take the bittul very seriously, it's not because we're makil on chametz, but to the contrary, it's because you think that the real isur of chametz on Pesach is the way you engage the chametz. And but through your renouncing it and being mevatel it, that's like the real kiyum of tashbisu. Right? That's the real kiyum of bayiram bayimata, which is stronger than just tossing it in the fire. Right? You're really renouncing any interest that you have in the chametz. So there's just two sources I want to call to your attention to conclude. So Rambam has an interesting formulation when he talks about the isser bayiram bayimata in one place. Rambam refers to it differently in different places. But in Hilchos Sanhedrin Perikei Tes Halacha Dalid, Rambam goes through a list of all the lo sases in the Torah. And the second to last source on page 12, or third to last source, Rambam says, Kol lo sases shebat Torah she'im behen lo karis lo misas bezin shelokin aleihen kuf samiches. So there are 168 lo sases that you get malkis for, ve'eluhein. So the 99th is hamikayim chametz bershuso. So the diak here is hamikayim.
What? Do you own it?
So ukigon shechimetz yisasa. The Rambam gives the example of like you actually like make dough rise. But the diak here is that the Rambam says hamikayim. Right? It's like you're proactively like keeping or maintaining chametz, right? Which is interesting. And the example that he gives, like you're actually like making dough rise on Pesach. So this suggests that built into the issur of chametz is not like the passive ownership or the accidental ownership, but the real issur is like proactively, and that's what the bittul accomplishes. The bittul says like, no, I have no interest in being mekayim chametz. Right? Ina rotza bekimo, like the Ramban said. Another example, the Rambam has this formulation, is in Sefer Mitzvah, it's Mitzvah Losase Resh Aleph, where the Rambam says, a Mitzvah Resh Aleph, he says, Yiranu Mehimatze Chametz Birshuseinu. So there he says, Mehimatze. But at the end, after the three dots, he says, or in the last line of the Mitzvah there, after the comma, he says, V'shehamekayim Chametz HaPesach over B'shnei Lavin Ba'yira Ba'yimatze. So the same formulation, right? Hamekayim, literally somebody who like preserves or maintains Chametz. But it has this like kumvase connotation.
So is that permitted or not permitted?
Well, no, not permitted. But it shows that the isser, the real isser, lies in like engaging chametz affirmatively on Pesach.
So
right?
Why isn't that kares?
You never get kares for possessing. Kares only for eating, and all the isserim. Bayi Rabbi Matzah is just the lav. But what's interesting is Ram's characterization here is Bayi Rabbi Matzah is not just the passive ownership, but the mekayim, the active. And there's one other source that may weigh in on this question. This comes from a sheet of the Reed, Tosis Psachim Chav Tesim Abeis. So why Tosis is motivated to say this is a long story. But to motivate in one way is that some Rishonim seem to hold that you can only fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisu at the time that the Chametz is already Aser. So like you can only really fulfill the mitzvah of Biur like after Chatzos on Erev Pesach.
It's completely contrary to...
Right, but it's paradoxical, right? Yeah. Because like, what does that mean? How could you keep the Chametz to destroy it if you're violating Bal Yirah and Bal Yimatz, you're violating an Isser Chametz, right? But the idea, I mean, what's motivating the idea is that maybe it's only considered Chametz once it becomes Aser, right? That's when it's toxic and that's when it has to be destroyed. So, but how do you explain that? How could you have a Chiyuv to keep Chametz into the Zmana Isser in order to destroy it? So Tosfos has an interesting idea on the bottom of page 12, and he says, "Mikan mochiach ri shehamishahe chametz haPesach v'daito levaro ena over bosa shehia." If you keep chametz with the intent to destroy it, you don't violate the isurim. So, like if you keep chametz into the zman isur, but you're only keeping it in order to destroy it, that's not bechlal the isur.
Because you're only
mevatled it. So, but he doesn't say because mevatled, but it's very consistent with this idea that the isser is to be mekayim chametz, right? To preserve chametz. But if the only reason why you're being mekayim the chametz is in order to devour it, that's not together the mitzvah.
It's the form of bittul.
Yeah, exactly.
So you short overlapping period, though. Right? We're not talking about for
Right. Yeah, presumably you shouldn't be want to keep it into the middle of Yom
Kippur. So
but you see how it's the inverse of this idea of the bittul, right? The bittul really is the kiyum because the iser of chametz is really the mekayim chametz.
And what's the purpose that we're mekayim at this point?
Well,
because
you want to be mekayim the real mitzvah of biur, which is like to destroy chametz when it's asr.
Because it's not chametz.
Right, it's not really chametz before it does mana iser.
57, whatever the time is.
Until the chiyuv